Welcome to the Manasquan School District Board of Education Combined Committee of the Whole Meeting, a regular public Board of Education meeting for August 13th, 2019. Call to order, opening statement pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10. Notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all. Roll call, Sandy.
Mr. Boldman.
Here.
Mrs. Bassone. Mr. Burns.
Here.
Mr. Patani.
Here.
Mr. Fiore.
Here.
Mr. Hobbiter. Mr. Ungoliant.
Here.
Mr. Lofredo. Mrs. McGarry.
Here.
Mrs. Pollock.
Here.
Mr. Serino. Mr. Warren. Warren was not reached.
Mission statement. Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and rich tradition through partnership with the community. Statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of the audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, and in many cases, by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next committee of a whole, combined committee of a whole and regular Board of Education meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After discussion during the committee of the whole portion of the meeting, the matter is focused on during the regular public board meeting agenda and presented to the Board of Education for a vote. Acceptance of minutes. Recommend the acceptance of and approval of the minutes of the combined committee of a whole and regular public meeting and closed executive session of July 15, 2019. Executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until the time as the reason for discussing and acting on a matter in the closed executive session no longer exists. Do we have a motion to accept the minutes? Ms. Pollock, Mr. Fiore.
Mr. Boldman?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mr. Ungoliant?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Carrie?
Student board representatives, since we don't have any, we will skip that section and move right on to the principal report. Justin?
Good evening, everybody. Mrs. Graziano cannot be here tonight. She's on vacation this week, so she asked me to fill in for her and give you a report on what's going on in her school. So I'm going to go over a couple of basic things that are happening as we get ready to open in September, and then just to kind of do a deep dive into one of the things, or two of the things really, that we talked about at some previous board meetings over the last couple of months. So just some basic updates that are going on in the month of August. We have some new staffing in the elementary school. We have two new English language arts teachers, two leave replacement teachers that are hired through October and December respectively, and our posting is still open as we continue to search for a part-time special education teacher. So some of these new staffing will appear on the agenda tonight. For our building, today we changed colors in our lobby, so if you walk through, you might see some fresh paint up. We have beautiful new gray color in the lobby, brightens things up a little bit. Our floors are being finished, so the floors are looking better than I've ever seen them. It's very good in the hallways. And just some student updates, all of our students are scheduled for classes, and letters go out tomorrow in the mail. So in the next several days, students will be getting their schedules for the coming year. And just a quick note that in our middle school, homerooms will be the only thing that those students receive. They get their full schedule the first day of school in May. Quick note on algebra and geometry, because we talked about that at our previous board meeting. Just an update on the number of students enrolled in advanced math this year. We have 47 students taking advanced math. That's 39 in algebra, 8 in geometry, and that's up from 28 students taking advanced math in the previous school year. So we want to do a quick deep dive today. I know I don't have a ton of time tonight, but I just wanted to touch on a couple of things that we had talked about last month and the previous month, and that's our intervention and referral services and our gifted and talented program, and a little bit about what our plans are for those in the coming school year. So when we had talked about gifted and talented, that was several months ago when Mrs. Graziano and I presented about how we were phasing out the accelerated class in grades 5 and 6 and replacing it with, which we think is a fundamentally more sound program of differentiation for all students in the regular education classroom, you identifying specific areas of G&T. For our INRS program, we talked about that last month, and we talked about the identification of students with the ultimate goal of reducing the number of INRS referrals, again, similarly to how we're doing G&T, through teacher intervention in the classroom. So a little bit more information about that for the coming year. We wanted to make sure that in order to do that, in order for our teachers to have the tools to hit individual students in the classrooms with what they need, both on the end of the spectrum of G&T, in which they're excelling beyond the grade level expectation, and students that are on the cusp of being referred to our INRS team who are performing at below grade level expectation, that in both instances, we have our teachers speaking the same language in terms of what the students' weaknesses and areas of excellence are, as well as the methods that they're using for interventions in the classroom. We're very careful not to use the word standardization. That has a sort of negative connotation in education, but we want to use the word calibration. We're trying to calibrate the language and methods that our teachers use, so that way from classroom to classroom and year to year, our teachers are using the same language and methods. And I'm going to explain in a couple of slides what exactly that means. But what that does is it allows us to take anecdotal evidence and move that to usable data for students. So for example, teacher A and teacher B both have students in their classrooms that are struggling with a similar weakness. They're not treating that weakness in different ways. They're not using different methods to help remediate and intervene on that student's behalf. What that's ultimately going to allow us to do for our students that are on the cusp of INRS or our students that are G&T is develop what we're going to call student learning profiles. Now, student learning profile, as I talked about with Mr. Coppola in the last few weeks, is we're going to be able to determine what a student's learning style is. Are they a visual learner? Are they an auditory learner? Are they a kinesthetic tactile learner where they like to get up and move and do things? What type of learner are they? Are they a student that likes to work in teams? Are they a student that works best on an independent project? We want to create a profile for our students in these two areas that's data-driven, that's fluid, meaning year to year it can change as we gather more data on the students. And we use that to make important instructional decisions for these students in placement, grouping, and teaching methods. So what does that mean? That means putting our students with the best teacher for their particular needs and giving them the methods of instruction that are going to have them be the most successful they can be in the classroom. So what is our method for doing this? What is our method for creating this common language and common instructional methods? And we had talked about this previously. We talked about these intervention manuals. And I brought two of them here with me this evening, and I'm going to pass them around. Like to start at one end. I'll give you this nice picture every once in a while. And this small one. So we have two manuals that we purchased this year. We purchased multiple copies. We have one for every grade level and department in the building of each. And the first one is a gifted intervention manual, and the second is a pre-referral intervention. And pre-referral refers to before we refer that student to the INRS team for basic skills help, what is the teacher going to do in the classroom in order to get that student up to grade level expectations? When you flip through that manual, what you'll see, I know it's very small, I apologize, look bigger on my computer. What you'll see is if a student has a particular weakness in what we're talking about our pre-intervention strategies, rather than just being the student is falling behind in math or the student is struggling with multiplication, What this manual does is it breaks down the behavior into more specific areas. And the teacher can identify what is that area that that student is struggling in, and then go to a page in the manual, in the back of the manual, that's going to give them several, in this case 20, strategies that they could use in the classroom that'll work to help bring that student up to grade level expectation. Now, they don't have to try all 20. All 20 may not work. This may be a situation where methods 1, 6, and 18 work, but the other ones do not. And that's okay, because that's going to help us define that learning profile for that student. That this student has been identified as confusing operational science when working math problems, and I know that strategies 1, 6, and 18 work really well with that student. So that way, when that student moves on from, say, 4th grade to 5th grade, that information then travels to that next year's teacher, so they don't have to spend time with that guesswork, and they can begin working with that student on the strategies they need until that student no longer needs those strategies. Similar things work in that gifted manual. If the student is excelling in writing or reading or performing arts, it gives the teacher specific strategies that they can use to help that student reach their full potential in the regular education classroom. One of the things we really like about this is that beyond the instructional strategies, it also gives us a lot of social and emotional strategies that we could use with students. So for example, this one in the pre-intervention manual talks about interpersonal relationships. And if we identify, or teacher identifies it in the classroom, the student has little to no interaction with peers, it gives them 24 different strategies they can use in order to get that student more involved in working with their peers. So ultimately what this does is it goes back to that common language. Rather than teachers from year to year saying this student struggled with this, and I delved back into my pre-service training as a college student, or I researched this on Google, and I tried this. Now we know that every teacher in the building, grade level to grade level, classroom to classroom, is using the same pool of strategies to work with their students in order to get them to where they need to be, both social and emotional, instructional, and gifted and talented. This year, 2019-2020, our goal is to take the students at opposite ends of the spectrum, students on the cusp of INRS that are performing under grade level, and the students G&T who are performing above grade level, and to develop those learner profiles on these students using these manuals. Our goal beyond is to develop a learning profile for every student in the building. It's going to take several years, it's going to take a lot of work from our teachers and a lot of training, but the goal is we can develop a learning profile for every single student in our building, what learning style, what methods, strengths, weaknesses, and how to best teach that student. We can do a lot of things with personalized learning, we can empower those students to take charge of their own learning, and ultimately lead to personal and academic success. That's our broad, ambitious goal, piloting it this year with a small group of students, expanding beyond.
All right, I need you to weigh in on this with me. Help me out on this. I mean, of all the people at this table, you know me best. And you know that we have a sort of an education philosophy that's aligned. And democratic pedagogy is very important. I'm looking at, and you know, I applaud the things that you do. I like them. But I'm looking at two parts of the spectrum of the student body that I have, an INRS group that are in need of help, and a gifted and talented. And it seems like we're always focusing on the two ends of the spectrum. I need to start to develop those learning profiles for every child in the building.
Our ultimate goal?
And I think as opposed to an ultimate goal, I need to start from the ground, maybe a grade level doing that. I mean, focus on the two ends of the spectrum. I'm with you. But let's start focusing on the others as well. And it brings me to the point, a rhetorical question. How are we developing the classes in regards to grouping up the students in our grades this year? And we haven't talked about that. And I love the fact that you're here tonight explaining what we're doing with this and showing the manuals, and I want all our teachers to be trained for professional development this year in using these, because I think it's rich in educational philosophy. But I need to focus on everybody. And I know you can't, you're looking at me saying, hey Frank, we got 600 kids. How can we focus on everybody? why can't we pick a grade level? Can we go back and rethink this? Greg, what do you got?
One of the things that we've used at the high school is through our guidance curriculum, Naviance, where we do have freshmen take learning styles inventory. And what that allows us to do and is to designate what type of learner all these students are coming in. And I think that's the kind of, again, talking with Justin and Colleen, that's the ultimate goal, is to get some kind of profile on every student. And I think this is a starting point of gathering that information, having that common language. That common language was really what a main focus was for this year. I know, as you know, we talk about scheduling. I know that that's a big part of what you and Ms. Graziano do in terms of the scheduling, in terms of grouping students appropriately based on learning styles and everything else. I think this step is just formalizing that language and that process with teachers and administrators. But you're right, there needs to be more training in.
I'm just impatient. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I applaud it, I like it, I'm with you. Why can't there be something that, like, we give the COGAT to so many of our grade levels. Why can't there be something, some profile, all the teachers get on returning from summer vacation with different pieces of what can develop that learning profile for every child. And we can still move on with this and have a different piece to it.
And they do. Our teachers get a profile of formerly PARC, now the New Jersey Student Learning Assessment. They'll get that information when they come back in September. And we spend time in the beginning of the year
You do a great job with that. I know you pick apart the PARC. I know I've been with you, and I know what you can do with that and how you drill down to skill levels. But we're developing a personalized learning profile for the child that's going to be with them as they go from kindergarten to 12th grade. That's right. Huge. It's great.
Yeah.
So we had to talk further about how we can sort of get our hands around everybody. And you sort of knew this was coming anyway. We just sort of heard the presentation. Yeah. Good?
Good.
Okay, good. Anybody else? Okay. Thanks, Justin.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Rob, we're going to high school.
Okay. Thank you for having me here tonight. I don't have a formal presentation, but I did hit the ground running my first 2 weeks in the district. And if you can allow me to use my notes so I get everyone's name right, I have to thank. So it's my approval in July, and then coming into the district formally August 1st. The transition seems to be seamless and smooth, and that's attributed to Dr. Cajun, Mr. Place, Mr. Coppola, Mrs. Kenny, the high school administrative team, maintenance custodians, everyone in this building has been so helpful. Lynn Coates has been fantastic in helping me get acclimated to this district, so I just want to thank them for their help in transitioning me into the district. And also, I'd be remiss if I didn't thank Stephanie Winter, most important person in the building, my secretary, who's been fantastic. And I wanted to thank all the teachers, the students, and parents who have been stopping in and reaching out to me through email, welcoming me to the district. We had a meet and greet with the new principal, with the teachers, very well attended for summer hours. It was very pleasing to see that, and they came right at me asking me questions about some of my educational philosophies and what I thought of the school and the district, and we talked about some of the challenges that are here in this school and some of the great things that we do. In my first 2 weeks here, you know, we do a lot of great things here, and we're looking to just tweak some of them and make them work better for kids. So I think it was a great start for me with the teaching staff, getting familiar with my style and who I am, and it was just a great event. The administrative team, we work every day together, have a lot of conversations about some of the tasks that we need to accomplish. Master schedule went out, teacher schedules went out, all the things that we need to put in place for a good school opening. So that's what we've been focusing on as an administrative team. And I've also been working with Mr. Hudson, Dr. Cajun, Mr. Place, in terms of some of the referendum projects that are currently going on and some of the things that will begin shortly. They're bringing me up to speed, so I want to thank them for doing that. Teacher schedules, I mentioned, teacher schedules have been shared with the teaching staff. We have a lot of students coming into guidance, maybe tweaking their schedule, making some changes in Mrs. Kenny, and the guidance secretary has been very helpful in accommodating our students. Thank you to all my colleagues who have been helping me and bringing me up to speed on some of the staffing that we've been doing over the course of the summer to get ready for the opening. And I believe as of today, we'll be making our final recommendations where the high school will be fully staffed for opening. So they just did a great job in facilitating all of the interviews and the demo lessons so that we have the best candidates to work here at the high school. We did go over today, working over on our student handbook for the school year. No formal policy changes have happened, but in reviewing it page to page, there were some things that, you know, we cleaned up, so it's a little bit more clarity for the students and the teachers to use that resource. And we will be, in my experience, in order to get student-teacher buy-in, doing things by committee to look at some of the things that we do that's outlined in that handbook, and we can make some even bigger and better changes that might require some policy changes as we go further, but that will happen during the school year. I'll be meeting with Mr. Coppola shortly, probably to go over some of the things, you know, some advice he's going to give me on being the new principal here, but also to review some of our student performance data and coming up with a plan on how we can improve our student performance here at the high school. And then we will be hosting, and if you're more than welcome to join us, for freshman orientation next Wednesday, August 21st, 5 p.m. I guess it starts with a big barbecue on the front lawn. I'm really looking forward to seeing that in action. And we have some great presentations on Be Proud and our freshman seminar. And then we'll have, that will follow up with a club and activities fair for the kids to see what's offered here at the high school for our ninth graders. And then the next day is laptop distribution night. We reworked that schedule. And we'll be distributing the laptops with Mr. Place's help and technology. So the freshmen will get their laptops in advance of the other kids and can get to work and kind of, you know, find out how they use that device to its best possible work during as a student here. And other than that, the transition's been great. I just want to, again, thank you for the opportunity. I'm thrilled to be here, and I look forward to a great school year. So that's the end of the high school principal's report.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yep. We'll move on to the new road construction project update on the heating upgrades in high school.
I'm in the same boat as Mr. Goodall. I have a distinctly low-tech presentation tonight, so this is for the board over there. So this summer we're taking our first small but important steps in the January referendum work. What we wanted to undertake this summer were some of the environmental issues that we wanted to address before we get into the HVAC system and fire alarm system upgrades that will begin in the new calendar year. So we've got four projects in various states of completion at this point. One is duct cleaning. That contract was for $69,800 with Induct. They did a duct, they cleaned all of the HVAC ductwork in the 1931 and 1998 portions of the building. They're basically using high pressure air and a device called a whip, which looks like a whip, and it rolls around through the duct, dislodges any dust or debris that's built up on the wall of the ductwork, and then they're using high pressure air to blow that into a collection machine, which is a high efficiency HEPA vacuum. The only work that's remaining for the duct cleaning is there is one duct in the band room, or a set of ducts in the band room, that were not included in that original scope of work. So we just received a proposal today from Induct to do that work. So assuming that that purchase order gets amended, Induct would be able to come back in the next couple of days and get that work done. We had a couple of remediation contracts going on this summer, the first of which was with Lilich Corporation, a $10,200 contract. This was for selective asbestos-containing material removal and mold remediation in the CST guidance suite. That work, as of today, is complete. The environmental consultant that was overseeing that work, Environmental Connections, did their final air clearance tests in the last space that Lilich was working in. It passed environmental connections criteria, so the contractor has been given the go-ahead to break down all of this containment for that space. The second remediation project that we had was a more extensive mold remediation project with Shade Environmental. That was a $33,850 contract, and it was remediating pipe insulation throughout the 98 and 31 areas of the building. We've since discovered some mold in the second floor faculty room, in behind the paneling in that room. So we received a proposal for an additional $4,000 to remediate that space. So all of Shade's work is done, other than the work in that second floor faculty room. They will get that work completed this week. The fourth contract that we had is related to the mold remediation contract. It's an insulation repair contract. So any of the insulation that was removed through the Lilich or Shade contracts will be replaced by Magic Touch insulation. That contract is $23,551. We issued the purchase order for that on Friday. The contractor has just obtained the material that he needs and is expected to mobilize either tomorrow or Thursday. And it's probably about a week and a half's worth of work, but there are areas of the building that we will get the insulation repaired in first so that the air conditioning can be turned on as quickly as we can. The air conditioning is being turned off in the building because most of this mold remediation is on chilled water piping. When you remove the insulation from that piping, you're then providing a cold surface. Water is going to condense on that surface, and in order to avoid any further mold growth, the chillers were shut down for this period of time that we've been doing the repair work. And we are on our way to getting the bid documents together with Rig & Young England Butera, the architect, and Kelter & Gilligo, the mechanical engineer, for the large HVAC upgrade and fire alarm upgrade project. We just went through a page turn with the design professionals for their 30% complete documents. We're on track for them to get to about 60% completion. We'll have another page turn with them towards the end of this month. And current bid schedule is for bids to be advertised on October the 1st, and we will take bids on November the 13th, and provided those bids are within budget, they'll be awarded at a November board meeting, and our expectation is that the contractor will be able to mobilize sometime over that Christmas break, so right at the beginning of the 2020 calendar year. Any questions?
So all the locations where we identified mold, they'll all be taken care of by the time the school year opens.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Along with the air clearance testing that Environmental Connection is doing.
Okay. Great.
And the substantial completion date is August 28th, 2020.
Yes, for the HVAC and fire alarm upgrades. Yes, sir.
Any other questions?
We're on track as far as you see.
Yeah.
I miss your little slide presentation that round.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
where we are. And
once we get into the actual construction of the HVAC and fire alarm upgrades, that trusty slideshow will come back out again. I promise I'll use different photos, not from the last time. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, there's really not much to show with a old remediation project, other than a bunch of guys in suits in plastic areas that I can't go into. So we have to trust the industrial hygienist who's overseeing the work to make sure that it's actually being done right, but it's his license on the line, so I trust him.
Yeah, Raleigh Jones, that's Raleigh Jones, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, he did a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was very happy with his performance. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you. All right. Thanks so much. Good night.
You too. Now it moves on to our Committee of the Whole and regarding education, curriculum, and technology. The board received a virtual handout today falling under the concept of education. And there were two items in that virtual handout that we had. And one referenced page 33, student handbook, was something that Mr. Goodall brought up today regarding locker inspections. It states students are responsible for all contents of the locker assigned to them, a reminder to parents and students to sign lockers on the property of the school, and periodic unannounced locker searches will be conducted during the school year, something that we did last year. And as Mr. Capole and I with Mr. Clayton initiated that 2 years ago, and it was successful. I'm just bringing it to your attention because, as you can see on the bottom, we've changed some of the verbiage in there because we reviewed the New Jersey Attorney General's guidelines for school searches, and the following changes to the language were recommended. It now reads, students are responsible for all contents of the locker assigned to them. Reminder to parents and students, assigned lockers are the property of the school. That's the change. And the rest of it, to protect the safety and well-being of students. Periodic unannounced locker inspections will be conducted by the principal and or other school officials with or without the assistance of detention canines throughout the school year. Regarding the canines, the dates were chosen, the 10 dates for the school year were chosen today, and I'm just letting the board know that I'm going to keep that as confidential information between myself, the building principal, the high school, and our director of security, coordinated security. I'm actually making that statement asking you about your thoughts about that. No one else will know about that until right before they will show up. There'll be an announcement by the building principal that we're going into lockdown because we're involved in a locker search and there'll be canines in the building. Students will be in classes. We'll do it at a time when learning will not be interrupted, and they'll be finished before the end of that particular period. I think the confidential piece is important because we want to get the message to the students that we don't want anything that falls under our policies in the building, be it weapons or alcohol or drugs, any type of contraband. Good?
Yep, fine with that.
Okay. The other piece that you had, the virtual handout, are some ways to handle visitors that Tim Clayton came back with from his week of safety and security training. And he referenced the superintendent shall develop regulations that will protect pupils and employees of the district from disruption to the educational program and the efficient conduct of their assigned tasks. Now you all have this as a virtual handout. I'm going to read it in case you have any questions about this or you feel that you think it might be too much of an inconvenience for our visitors that we can discuss. Number one, all visitors should make an appointment prior to coming to the school building. If an appointment wasn't made and the staff member isn't available, the visitor will not receive access and will be required to come back once the appointment is made. Two, all visitors wishing access into the school must provide photo identification to security. Photo identification. Once cleared by security staff, a temporary visitor badge will be printed and placed into a clear holder with color-coded lanyard to identify visitor or contractor/vendor. Keep in mind that this year we'll be having vendors in the building, and we want to have a list of those, as well as they have to go through all our protocols in order to be in the building. One, two, three, four. All visitors are to be escorted by the staff member, security, or designee to and from the meeting location. And last, Visitors will return the lanyard to the front security staff personnel, and the temporary ID will be discarded by the staff. We're getting a new identification system in the building this year. It'll probably be in by October, November, as we prepare for the different contractors will be coming in. And I don't want to catch you off guard, Jesse, but I guess I am. The name of that, the one we chose, Lobby Guard?
Nice.
And it's something that's sort of instantaneous, and it's something that is very thorough, and I believe Spring Lake Heights has it. Yeah, and are you happy with that, Ann?
I feel like it never works for me, but no, it's good.
It's good.
But we'll make sure it works for you.
No, but I think they find that that's a really great system.
Yeah, that's the feedback I got from them. Yeah, we reached out. Questions about the changes in the protocol for visitors into the building?
I have a question.
Yes.
So, number one, all visitors make an appointment. I'm assuming that's to get beyond, like, beyond the security desk, not because of the constant children leaving something behind, not getting...
Oh, no. Say they want to have a, they're coming in to meet guidance, or they're coming in to meet with a teacher. And the second sentence, if an appointment wasn't made and the staff member isn't available, the visitor will not receive access. Now, if the staff member is available and an appointment wasn't made, we're going to let them in, as long as the staff member says okay. I mean, if Leslie has the availability of a guidance counselor, you know, we're not going to turn people away. But I sort of want to have a controlled piece over the people coming and going in the building.
Sure. What, I just wanted to clarify that it's like beyond the security desk,
And no one will be walking through the building without an ID, nor without being escorted by either security and or that person that came to see.
That's fine.
Bruce, you're in deep thought. What do you got?
I'm just listening. Take them all in.
Okay. Good. All right, those are the only virtual handouts that you have. Personnel is to be discussed in executive session. We do have a board self-evaluation update. Lynn?
Yes, for board members, if you have not completed your board self-evaluation, if you could do that this month, we'll be discussing it at the September board meeting.
Good. Policies for revision, second reading. The use of electronic communications and recording devices. I believe everybody has the update on that particular policy. And I want to thank Jean and Mrs. Pollock for their due diligence in focusing on that. The only change that we have in that is on the third paragraph where it says a student, you can see where the line goes through that particular section. There are two sentences that have been taken out, and the one sentence that was put in, students in the high school and elementary school are not permitted to use ECRDSs in class. Those are electronic communication and recording devices. They're required to leave their ECRDSs in their lockers or place it in the required location in the classroom as directed by the classroom teacher. I think that takes away from the
sense.
It wasn't really redundant, but I think that was one of the, as you pointed out last time, it felt like it was a little confusing since we had last time. Good? Better?
Okay.
Super. Any questions about the other policies? None of the other policies were changed. They all remained the same as our first reading. Seeing no questions, finance, receipt of extraordinary aid for 2018-19. Ms. Coates, back to you.
Thank you. So this year we received $137,279 toward our students that have IEPs that due to their services or placements, their expenses are over $40,000 for the district. This is above and beyond what we budgeted. We budgeted $120,000. So that is for the 18-19 school year, so that actually applies to last year's budget. But those numbers will be reflected in our audit, and this is the last piece of state aid that the district receives for 18-19. Also, one other quick note under financial. Notice through the agenda, the mileage reimbursement rate has gone up. For years it's been 31 cents, it's now 35 cents. And when some of the travel, toward the end of the agenda, you'll notice some of the travel dollar amounts are revised. from last month. That's due to the increase from 31 cents to 35 cents.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Building and grounds, facilities, anything? There's a whole bunch.
There is a whole bunch. As you heard Mr. Notley this evening explain what is happening in the building over the summer. We also have our custodial staff doing a lot of work in both buildings. They'll be painting this gym. They've done painting in the elementary school. They've also reconfigured the guidance suite and the CST suite, along with cleaning the building. So I think, like past summers, we'd like to thank them for their diligence. They've worked very hard this summer, making sure that we're ready for September.
And regarding building grounds facilities, and I forgot to ask Justin this question, and I see that he's not here. This is the week that we got from the state to have the convicts painting the yellow lines and the white lines. And I know that sounds tough, the convicts, but that's the best way I can explain who they are, and they're in the orange jumpsuits. They are monitored by people from the correctional facility. And you get a nice group of different trained workers. Some have skills in painting, some have skills in mechanics. And I learned that today from talking to the correctional officer, because we knew it was gonna rain. So we wanted to utilize them someplace. So we decided, since there were no children in the building, to bring them to the elementary school, because we're painting the yellow part of the walls, we're painting them gray at the choice of the building principal. And I wanted to see how it worked out, but he said it was great. Now, I guess they did a great job painting. So my point is this, unless there are some people who feel that we shouldn't do this, in October, I have the opportunity to get them for 2 more weeks to work outside our building and clean up the areas that we had cleaned up 2 years ago, where the bridges are in the elementary school. We see all that brush growing. Now, we're allowed to maintain that. We can't rip grass or weeds out from the ground, but we can cut them down to an inch or two and then mow it so it looks nice and clean. They agreed to come back 2 weeks in October if you would have them. Good?
I don't know. I don't know how I'd feel about them working during school days when the kids are present.
Okay. Well, if you can get back to me with that, let me know. So only work outside.
Comments on that, or I mean, it's at the elementary school too, right?
Yep. Outside, in between the bridges on the side, and our security will be there. I'll have 2 security guards there. We'll have a policeman in the school, and we'll also have their correctional officer. But if you feel uneasy about it at all, I'm good
about it.
Okay, because we have time. That's October. With that, I'm going to move right to my superintendent's report. No enrollment this month. Also, the attendance and fire alarm suspensions, that's not applicable either. We get down to document C in the high school. As you can see, we had 1 incident, 1 confirmed HIV, and the elementary school, no report for the month. We did go over the visitor regulations that I gave you in the virtual handout. I reviewed the student handbook language change. And now we're going to move to the report of the assistant superintendent. Mr. Place.
Thank you. Since the last board meeting, I just wanted to update everyone. The access control project that was taking place at the high school is completed. So we added 5 access doors in the 1931 section of the building, 2 doors that aren't accessed but just monitored. So what that means is that allows us to have active monitoring on those doors during the school day. So for example, if a door were propped open and left open for more than a set period of time, we usually use like 30 seconds, that can alert our administrators to the fact that the door is propped open and not closed. So we're happy with that. Between the new wing and that being completed, about half of the high school at this point has that access control upgrade completed. So I was happy to get that done over the summer. Beyond that, as Mr. Goodall alluded to, we'll be doing our laptop distribution to freshmen next week, next Thursday, and then the following week on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday for upperclassmen when they can come. 2 nights, Tuesday and Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. and Thursday during the day from 11 to 1 p.m. And we added that day one. We used to do only nights, but some students work at night, so we added that a couple years ago. So we think it's given everyone the most flexibility. And you know, students can come any of those days at any time during the windows. So that's about it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now the report of our Director of Curriculum and Instruction, Mr. Capola.
Well, thank you. Before I get to the presentation, just wanted to give an update. The curriculum writing process was really a positive one, very enlightening. And one of the things that I wanted to mention today is that, you know, going through and communicating with the teachers and the administrators who are involved, something struck me today that I wanted to make sure that I mentioned today, and it was that how many new courses that we have at the elementary school and the high school. And I think it's important to make the point that a lot of these courses emanate from teachers coming to building administrators, principals or supervisors, and saying that I want to try something, I have an idea. And a lot of those great ideas, a lot of those things are really, you know, kind of plant the seed for the successful programs that we've had. So I compliment them on the process. They did a wonderful job, and we'll continue to update curriculum as we go. And one of the things that we tell teachers is that the curriculum is a fluid process. As you're writing your lesson plans and as you're doing things, especially in new courses, those are opportunities for you to update the curriculum and provide more detail, because we do want it to be a living document that, you know, theoretically a new teacher can come in and teach right off of, and that's what our goal is. Just wanted to also speak about new teacher orientation. New teacher orientation will be next week. We have, I believe, 12 teachers on both sides of the street that after tonight we'll have, hopefully we'll have approved. The 3-day process is a very positive one. We have all administrators involved. We bring students in. We have lead teachers, our veteran teachers come in. It's a 3-day process, which is we go over everything from technology. Mr. Place and his staff does a great job in going through everything from email to student information systems to you name it, policies and everything else, just as it goes to technology. And we really talk to these teachers and ingrain in them what it is to be a teacher at Manasquan. And we require, some districts don't do this, we require, if we hire someone from another district, even if they're a veteran teacher, we require them to come, because it's, again, we do things a specific way here. We're proud of the way that we develop teachers, and I think it's been a very positive program that we've had. We also, as we continue to support our staff members and professional growth, we also continue with meetings throughout the year with specific topics with our new teachers every month on both sides of the street, where we talk to them about communicating with parents. We talk to them about managing stress. We talk to them about different strategies in the classroom. So it's an ongoing process. And again, we're very proud of the fact that we are able to hire quality people through a very solid process, and we're able to keep them and develop them in a way that makes them, you know, meaningful and good teachers in the classroom. So that's where we are. And as Mr. Goodall mentioned, obviously we have our freshman orientation coming up as well, so we're ready to start the school year. It's crazy as it is. That leads me into this presentation as we go forward this year with a program that we're excited about. Over the course of the year last year, when we went to the high school, we went to the new drop and rotate schedule. One of the things that was a major charge for us was to monitor student progress, and specifically how to see how students were utilizing the time that they had, specifically in the unit lunch. We saw a lot of great progress over the year. We monitored that through talking to teachers, but we also monitored through how many kids we had signing into these labs and how they were taking advantage of it. One of the things that emanated out of that whole process was, as we went to the new schedule last year, we spent a lot of time talking to parents, and I spent a lot of time talking to freshman parents about the transition of their child into the high school. And a lot of very interesting conversations. And that kind of led to conversations with teachers, some sending district superintendents, administration, and really kind of led into an initiative that we built, and working very closely with Ms. Kenny. We kind of took our old freshman transition program, which we had years ago, and we developed what we call the freshman seminar. And this was the process that we kind of went through, and this is the program that we're going to be instituting this year that we're excited about. We want to be a centerpiece of the high school program. So the origins and evolution of the freshman seminar. The freshman transition program was instituted in the early 2000s. Again, that focused on some of the social growth and just basically getting kids to understand what the expectations of the high school were. Again, talking with Ms. Kenny and talking with our instructional council, we wanted to expand this. We wanted it to be more than simply a transition program. That's how we got the idea of the freshman seminar. Upon the change to unit lunch, the administration and teachers assessed academic lab usage of all students, and the instructional council, which is led by Dr. Cajun, identified a clear need for more structure and assistance in allowing students to adapt to the new schedule and the rigors of high school. So this is what some of the instructional council is made up of: teachers, classroom teachers, who would discuss what they're seeing in their classrooms every day, and basically what they were seeing aligned with what the administration was seeing and was hearing from parents in terms of providing more support for incoming freshmen. Ms. Kenny was involved with the instructional council in an effort to plan and structure a student-centered dialogue-based seminar which focused on developing a foundation of success, and that phrase is going to be used a lot in this presentation, for all ninth grade students. And obviously the board approved curriculum writing for this course in May of 2019. So the program overview works like this. The class of 2023 will be the first class. The freshman seminar will be taught by teachers, administrators, guidance counselors, and Manasquan High School upperclassmen. This is one of the key differences than our freshman transition program. The freshman transition was basically taught by a guidance counselor and maybe a handful of teachers. What we want to do is get as many people involved with this process as possible. There's a couple of reasons for that. We'll cycle through four groups, an A, B, C, and D, through the seminars through the first semester. Each student will attend the freshman seminar twice a week for a total of 50 minutes per week. This is valuable because it'll still give the students the opportunity to study. It'll still give them time to go to the labs, but it does provide structure through that 50 minutes per week that, again, is going to lay that foundation. This will be a required class that we graded pass-fail, and the seminar is presented in six units. And this is where the structure and this is where the ideas kind of come to fruition. The first unit is becoming a Manasquan High School student. Focusing on the transition to the responsibilities of being a freshman, we'll focus on time management, focus on study skills, note-taking, organization techniques, etc. An example is just coming to mind. I have a son who was a freshman last year, and one of the things that I asked him to do for me, he said, well, let me see your notebook, let me see what's going on, because Dad, I have a great notebook. Well, he brought me this book that was exploding, and he's like, I have everything. I'm like, well, it's not exactly the way that you want to do it. So we talked about how to organize notes. We talked about, how to prepare for exams. So it's going to be things like that, as basic as what materials you need for which class and how you're going to work on those. Utilizing unit lunch and lab opportunities, we'll walk them through. We'll tell them who's available. We'll tell them where they go for that enrichment or for that remediation that they might need. Balancing academics and athletics and extracurricular activities. One of the messages that we always go through with our freshmen is become involved. Well, it falls on us then to, as they are involved, and we have 80% of our students in extracurriculars and athletics, we need to teach them how to manage that time. Developing effective communication skills. When is it appropriate to ask a teacher for extra help? Do you email a teacher? What is it that you need to do to communicate with the adults and the trusted adults in the building? And employing technology, that's Naviance, the campus calendar, Microsoft Apple. So basically what this equates to, if you're a parent, it's about sitting down at the dining room table and saying, all right, what do you got? And what's your schedule and everything else? So this is the first step. And we do think that this will be something that'll help families at home in terms of getting to that first step. Our second unit is MHS resources. Introduction to all staff and services available to MHS students. Each day will feature a different resource. We'll have one day where the administration will come in. We'll have our principals and assistant principals Director of Athletics. They'll introduce themselves, they'll go through specifically what they do for the students in this school. Student services, guidance, child study team, student support, student assistance counselor, and our social worker. They're important people in the building. They're also trusted adults that have a big impact on our student body. Our support staff, our media center specialists, our cafeteria staff, and our nurse, athletics, our director of athletics, again, coaches and club advisors. this is an opportunity for these advisors to kind of recruit kids. Sometimes when we tell kids, especially freshmen, to get involved, they don't exactly know how to do it. So we'll try to, you know, pair them up with a buddy or something to kind of get them involved with clubs and everything else. But this, again, is another example as to how we can get them engaged in high school. And student council advisors and freshman class advisors to kind of get them involved in student government decision making, really get them part of the fabric of the high school. Unit three is citizenship. This was something that was interesting in terms of how we see this unit evolve. What we want to talk about is the warrior way. And what that means is what it means to be a high school in the building. I can give you an example. One of the things when I was the principal of the building that almost every visitor commented on was, such nice kids in this room. When I walk by, everybody says hello to me. It doesn't happen in every high school. That's one of the things that we want to talk about having pride in the school, about being involved, about how you treat each other, about how you treat the adults in the school, and how they treat you. Responsibility and social media. Obviously, that's a major issue. Unfortunately, that leads to a lot of the discipline issues that we might have. It contributes to a lot of hit cases. So we want to obviously educate them on that and how to be responsible, how to manage that part of their life. Mindfulness, and that's another thing we're going to focus on this year. Just being cognizant of the people around you. And again, when we talk about HIV, it's about how you treat people and how you interact, avoiding those situations where you're not treating someone the right way. Sportsmanship, what it means to be an athlete at Manasquan High School, to take pride and to represent your team, your school the right way. And service to the community. One of the things that's really nice, we have a partnership with the Spring Lake Rio Rotary for our Student of the Month. And one of the things that our students hear often is about service above self. And it's really an amazing thing at the high school about how many of our students not only participate in athletics and take difficult classes, but also have some role in community service, whether it be through their church or some group outside of the school. Unit 4 is planning your MHS career. This is something that Ms. Kenny and I talk about. So a lot of great input into this in terms of how we're gonna structure this. And this is basically looking beyond your freshman year. What is your path going to be, or what might it be? We're not expecting students to make rock hard decisions here, but what are your choices as you get through your freshman year? The first step will be our MHS academies. Academy directors will provide overviews of their programs. This will be an opportunity to bring upperclassmen in and talk about their experiences, whether it be internships, whether it be field trips, just to kind of give an overview. Guidance counselors will detail specific four-year pathways for students to follow their MHS careers. This is something that Ms. Kenny and the counselors do anyway, but this is, again, kind of doing it a little different venue. Naviance introduced the guidance curriculum, begin setting up resume portfolio, complete learning styles inventory. I know we've talked a little bit about possibly going to a different platform this year, but we do employ that as well. And then also start talking about PSATs and testing, and just give a brief introduction there. The freshman seminar will culminate with exam preparation. As we lead up to midterm exams, we're going to organize study groups. Again, we'll get those notebooks out, see what they look like. Review sheet inventory, make sure the students prepare, review the exam schedules, the timelines, establish common study groups, group students in a way where they have students that have common classes, they can come together. That will be facilitated by maybe our peers, our student council. We have to do some of the decisions we have to make. Strategies for taking comprehensive exams. Sometimes that can be a daunting first experience for a freshman. Utilizing unit lunch and academic lab opportunities, and again, study skills review. And finally, the way that we're going to, the end part of this is going to be, we obviously want to assess our students and to make sure we've prepared them in the way that we intend. So this is what we would look at. At the end of the semester, all freshmen will be evaluated based on grades, attendance, discipline record, completion of freshman seminar, and teacher recommendations. So it's a comprehensive way in which that we're going to evaluate every freshman after that first semester to see where they are. Based on these factors, students who still need assistance in transitioning will continue with a second semester transition program just to provide them with the additional support. The focus will be on study skills. So if there are students that have additional needs as we go forward. In the second semester, we will set up a schedule for them to receive that individual instruction. A meeting will be scheduled with the parents to discuss the placement strategies that will be put in place moving forward. Student progress will be monitored by the freshman guidance counselor and the assistant principals, and additional supports, INRS, student assistant counselor, child study team may also be utilized. So again, this is moving forward. This is how we would help those students that would still need help after the freshman seminar. So this is obviously something that we're excited about. And I have to give a lot of credit to Jim Fagan and Lawrence Liskey, our freshman guidance counselor, who actually sat down, and as I presented them with these were units that Ms. Kenny and I talked about that we wanted to have structured, they were able to outline specific lessons and kind of come up with some ideas as to what the day-to-day would look like through the freshman seminar. So they did a great job, and you know, also the instructional counselor, which Dr. Cajun leads, really came up with a lot of good ideas as to how to implement this. So we really see this as a positive thing going forward. It will be a program that, Mr. Goodall and I are meeting later this week, that we'll talk about at the freshman orientation with parents, as we have a captive audience. And it'll be something going forward that I think will be very positive for our incoming students. It'll also be part of our articulation piece, where we can go back to our sending districts and get their input as well as to what they're hearing about their student success in the high school, and we can take their input and kind of tweak this program and modify it as we go. So that's where we are going into this year. Are there any questions about the program?
So when do they take these seminar sessions?
This will be during the unit lunch.
During their unit lunch. So twice a week after lunch.
Correct.
During half.
And it's a requirement, though. It's not
yes.
Half of the lunch. Their lunch period will be cut in half, so they have time to eat, and then so on two of the days of the rotation.
We thought that was a reasonable amount of time, and we'll make sure that everybody is obviously is eating and fed and everything else, but they go through those cycles. We thought that was the best way to go through.
So it's 25 minutes twice a week, 50 minutes? Is that what it is?
Yes.
For half the year.
For the first semester. Yeah. And then those students who are identified as really maybe needing more support services can continue on throughout the rest of the year. So it gives them an idea, gives us an idea of really, who we should be focusing on specifically, and making sure that they have the continued support throughout the year if they need it.
Yeah, another question.
Yeah.
So this is great, absolutely great, but we're just focusing on freshmen. So how can we leverage, especially number one and number two, for the remainder of the student body, and like through either volunteering, similar sessions at lunch, or grade by grade sessions for general assemblies or things like that.
I think specifically within the unit lunch.
I'm just saying, especially your units one and two, right? Better study habits, better note taking, all that isn't just freshmen. That is something that's got to carry through. And I know you're starting it with the freshmen, but we have sophomores, juniors, and seniors this year who desperately need this.
So maybe you have sophomores or juniors where this focus is on taking your SATs and preparing your
That was actually something that we talked about, that obviously starting with the freshmen, but we joked because we said really everybody could
So
use
why don't
this,
we just take a step back and come back in September and see what you three can come up with to help the rest of the student body.
Right.
I mean, and through our discussions of, if you want to get to be the best, what are we doing now? Mm-hmm. Let's identify some problems and what can we do differently to be the best? And this is one of the identified areas, basically focused on freshmen coming in, transition. But I think we all agree, mm-hmm. there are students in the building.
Absolutely.
That have sophomores, juniors, and seniors that could use this as well. So how do we do that? By utilizing voluntary, taking their time during lunchtime to do that.
And something to note, that one of our counselors who was in as a long-term sub actually was a professor at Brookdale, an adjunct professor. And we modeled this when we took a look at it out of a freshman
college level course, because incoming freshmen for the colleges and universities often they label it student success, they, you know, different types of seminars, but it's really essentially the same things for the students as they're continuing on into college too. And that was the first thing that we said, is that we need to figure out how to identify these students. Not all of them. I mean, as you know, I think, like you said, whether it's a volunteer program, whether it's somebody that we identify specifically, and how can we continue it on?
Actually, I would disagree. I would say that 100% of our student body needs to go through this consistently and get updates and just refreshers, like, not
because they're life skills.
Right, they're life skills. And I'm not saying it has to be as broad of a program as this, but again, I know we do a lot with like anti-bullying and things in general assemblies, but I'm even saying, you know, include those as certain things that everybody does grade by grade.
I think that comes into, as we talked about the schedule last year, we focused on the unit lunch. We learned a lot this year going through the unit lunch the first time. We learned about how to structure it and how to supervise it. And as we go, we're going to get better at providing those opportunities for everyone. And obviously, I know that, you know, just talking with Mr. Goodall a little bit, you know, we're on the same page with that. I mean, that's got to be something that we, again, find maybe more of that direction within that unit lunch for all students. And that could be as simple as getting them down the guidance and just saying, listen, this is where you are in this grade. We're going to, you know, you're going to have to check into the enrichment lab twice a week, and then we can get reports back in that way. But again, that's a process. Why we really had a lot of momentum last year with the unit lunch as the year went on. It became a lot more meaningful and a lot more productive as the year went on, and as we, you know, got our heads around what we wanted our students to do, and they took advantage of it. And there's evidence of that by how often those students actually checked into those labs on their own. But the next step would be maybe identifying those kids a little quicker, getting them to go there and assigning them to go there for that. Do you have any questions?
Yes.
Is this available on the board, or can you send it?
Sure.
Because absolutely. I think these types of things, I think, are especially valuable for sending districts.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because they haven't been inside the other side of the street. And so it's a lot different for them. So to be able to talk about this and share this with board members and sending districts, I think, is a really important thing. Sure. So if you could either send that to me or post it or something, I would appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And we are going.
Absolutely.
We are going to take a look, and when we go out to the sending districts, or, you know, early September, October, to do our open house evenings. To that's, you know, a major focus of our PowerPoint presentation that we've added to, so that the students and the families are aware of the programs.
Yeah, I know, but part of it is not all the board members are.
Right, the board members.
And so that's what I feel my responsibility is.
Absolutely.
To take back and discuss what we have here. So if we can make that.
Jessica, you put it then on board's
web link. Yep. It'll be on the virtual handouts, and we'll email it out tomorrow also.
Good, Mark. We'll be on the virtual handout tomorrow.
Yeah,
good.
Any other questions?
No, I do want to compliment. I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm very proud of the reports I've heard so far, which puts you, Leslie, at really pressure on you, but you're next. And, you know, as I heard Joe Girardi, a great manager of the Yankees, I didn't say Yankees, say today when they were talking about all the teams that have a shot at the championship, that it's 20% inspiration and 80% perspiration. And I've witnessed the three people who made reports tonight. I think I wish I could say it to Justin, because I didn't witness him this week. But I watched how hard Jesse worked, and you really rolled up your sleeves and got into the curriculum. I'm very proud of that, and I want to thank you for that. You're going to be excellent at this. And I watched Mr. Goodall do transition, that he hit the ground running. So that's what's going to make us who we want to be. And I want to thank you for that.
Miss Kenny had a big part to do with this, though, too.
Well, she's next, so we'll see about
her.
And see how inspired she was.
What they said.
Thank you. Now, the report of the Director of School Counseling Services.
Okay. So again, you know, just to reiterate a lot of the programs that we've been working on this summer, we have been really very busy with really exciting things. And I get to this point every summer where I feel like I'm ready for school to start, believe it or not, because all the things that we're talking about, we actually get to see, you know, in progression. You know, in terms of the school counseling office, you know, every year when we finish the year, we kind of take a look back and reflect, and you know, it's always changing. I think that's one of the things that I love about school counseling, is that the areas, the topics, the things that we focus on are always changing and evolving. One of the big things that I want to take a look at this year in the programming is really our timelines, and taking a look at, you know, reviewing the timelines that we're doing. You know, we're seeing students that are coming into the office, you know, during the summer, who have already applied to colleges. All of these types of things are happening so quickly. So part of the programming this year, I want to take a look at really developing some parent and student workshops for the evenings, whether or not it's NCAA eligibility nights. I think that we need to take a look at maybe essay writing, Common App, FAFSA. I mean, we've done that, but not to the extent, I think, of breaking it out specifically. And so those are really some of the things that I want to take a look at for the programming this year, in terms of really getting the students, you know, career and college ready earlier on. In terms of, you know, bringing up the whole freshman seminar, one of the things that I really would like to get back to, and, you know, it really depends on the needs at the certain times, is really taking a look at group counseling opportunities. So, in other words, you know, we often, years ago or different times of the year, we would have groups of, a counselor would take a group, and it would be a group with, you know, being kind, and, you know, character ed, different types of workshops and groups across the street we always facilitated. But I do think that there is the need for the counselors to start to really focus on specific groups, whether or not it's writing a college essay, whether or not it's writing, you know, logging on to, you know, study skills specific. And you know, part of the freshman transition is that the hope is that we can identify these students a little bit earlier to get them involved in groups as they go on throughout the remainder of their years here. So really, in terms of moving forward, you know, with the timeline and taking a look at what we can do for our students starting in September, you know, generally we have our open our back to school night, and that's when I do a senior parent seminar for the college app and the Common App. And, you know, taking a look at that now, because things are changing so often, maybe, you know, it needs to become the junior parent night in May or June of the junior year, to take a look at that. So my focus this year is really going to be taking a look at that, and really trying to figure out how we want to plan for the changing needs of the school counseling office. To reiterate a little bit with the freshman transition, we have relied on Naviance a lot. I think that Naviance has been a great tool. There is a program that I've spoken about at a former meeting, which is called SCORE, and the major difference I see between it is that it's a little bit more user-friendly for students. It looks more like Instagram, it looks more like Facebook, and so the students have a little bit more buy-in. It's good because it can separate the interest inventory, the career profile, all of the things that Naviance can still do and do really well. This is almost supplemental to that. So we're going to be doing a conference call to try to see if we can get some more information about that, and really start with maybe a focus group of students to really kind of see what they think about it. Because, you know, we could think that Naviance is, you know, so user friendly for us, but the students, they want to see it on their phones, and they want an app for it. So we're going to be taking a look at that. In terms of the basics for the school counseling office right now, we are finishing up, you know, like you know, Mr. Goodall said, we've been really busy in the guidance office every day. You know, there are students and parents and registration, so it's great that the students take advantage of the offices and the counselors that are available all throughout the summer. Starting next Monday, 3:00 is when the parent portal will open with the student schedules. I have counselors in for those 2 weeks, so any changes that need to be made can be made. You know, they're being made now if students come in and have questions, but we will have the opportunity, just like last year, to have the counselors on staff to allow students to make any changes to their schedules or adjustments, or really just answer any questions that we have.
When are those schedules going to be up?
They're Monday at 3 p.m. So the Honeywell goes out Friday, indicating that on Monday the schedules will be live on the parent portal. And then at that point, if students want to come in and make some changes, they certainly can. And all of this in really the hope of being able to start the school year, you know, with everything in place and not have to, you know, come in and make changes and really to kind of have an idea. And to be honest, every year I notice more and more students are coming in earlier. You know, they're stopping in, they're saying, you know, I thought about this over the summer, or I went to see the college over the summer and I want to change this. So it's much more fluid than it has been in past years. And so we're really seeing students start to take a hold and really kind of plan their program sooner. So, and I think we really want to just make sure that we're keeping up with that and adjusting the offices and the expectations so that we can focus on their needs. So,
good.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thanks.
On par. Nice. Any questions?
One.
Good call.
Question.
No, that's okay.
So I brought this up before about Naviance, mm-hmm. right? And more statistics and usage and things mm-hmm. like that. So having put two kids through high school, mm-hmm. they really didn't even start using Naviance till like junior year when it became college, right? And I think one of the things that when I started looking into it myself and going, wow, this is a great mm-hmm. tool, they need to get the interests and, mm-hmm. and that portion of it, kind of finding out what they might want to do with themselves instead of being lost and
right.
just trying to decide early. So my question is, can we pull some statistics to say how many of the sophomores mm-hmm. actually have been in there and filled out their student assessment?
Absolutely. You know, oftentimes, at the meetings with the freshman counselor, you know, she will introduce the career interest inventory. She has introduced the resume building. But again, you know, we introduce it, we go through it with them. You know, it is a little cumbersome in the sense that it's a lot of questions for some of the students, and we'll start it, then we'll send, you know, information home and say to the parents, you know, take a look at this with your parents, go over it. But oftentimes, you're right, they start it and then they don't go back again. And I do attribute a little bit of that to the fact that it's actually logging on and taking the time to do it, where what I'm hearing from, you know, other districts is that when they look at the SCORE app and they're looking at if there's more webcasts and there's more virtual type experiences, I think, for the students. But I agree that the students need to have it in place a little bit sooner, because by their junior year, if they're not already comfortable with the platform, then we're starting over. So yes, I can get all the data from Naviance for the past couple of years and go through that.
I would just think we have to monitor it.
Oh, absolutely.
And then that would be a basis to
yep.
even look at something like SCORE.
Yeah.
We'd at least be able to say,
absolutely.
Wait a second, this isn't really, we're only using it for college right. applications and right. teacher referrals.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Because there's so many, right, there's so many tools, and I think that was part of the concern, was that it was being underutilized in a lot of ways in different districts. But I also think that it's because it depends on how user-friendly is and what else is out there. You know, with the freshman transition, we can ensure that every student is logging on. And you know, every student does, believe it or not, get their log-on information. Sure. It's just how they want to incorporate it when they leave. You know, when they leave and they go home, so.
Thanks. That comes to a conclusion of my superintendent's report, but I do want to just remind the board that by voting for approving my superintendent's report, you're approving the visitor regulations and the student handbook language change, because that was included in my report. However, you're not approving the 2 weeks in October for the convicts to come. That's for a future discussion, and that will be in September.
Do we have a motion to accept the superintendent's report? Mr. Warren? Mr. Balderman?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mr. Ernst?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mr. Hobiter?
Yes.
Mr. Angolia?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carrie?
That brings us to our first public forum on agenda items. Time may be allotted for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes in duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, they represent. Although the board encourages public participation and reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by any individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portion of the meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of performance of, promotion of, or discipline of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on the items included in this agenda. Would anyone like to speak on the agenda items? Seeing no one, we'll move on to the Manasquan general items. Does anyone need anything separated out? Items 13 through 24. Do we have a motion for items 13 through 24?
Mrs. Pollack?
Mr. Overton?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hobbit?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Gary?
We'll move on to the Manasquan Sending District item, general items. Does anyone need anything separated out? Items 25 through 40.
Pleasure.
Do we have a motion, items 25 through 40? Mr. Fury? Ms. Pollack?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Fury?
Yes.
Mr. Hobbit?
Yes.
Mr. Ringolia?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Gary?
Does anyone have any old business they'd like to discuss?
I do. The homework policy that we had implemented last year. I'm raising it again because at the tail end of the year, I know that was the focus with the change of the schedule, and we implemented the change in the policy for the hours of homework. And then at the end of the year, I started to hear again from people, parents coming up to me, talking about the excessive homework again, and feeling like it was better, but then it got worse again. So I want to make sure, and some of the parents were conveying that some of the children are saying things like people don't understand the policies. So I want to make sure that there's a communication to our teachers that understand the policies that we make, that they're aware of, and they understand that the homework policy is in existence and that they follow it, and that they don't dismiss it and say, well, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do and provide excessive.
Okay, so what we'll do as a follow-up to that is I'll ensure that the homework policy is in the student handbook. I'll also have when I meet with my administrators right before the start of the school year, we do have an administrative meeting coming up, I'll make sure that's on the agenda, and I'll make them accountable for, in their teacher meetings, supervisors with their teachers, principal with their teachers, review the homework policy and make sure they understand exactly what the parameters are of that particular policy. And I will try to find out why it could have been the exams at the end of the year that the students got more homework. I don't know, but I'll try to get some data that qualitative that I can bring back. So I could, maybe even Mr. Goodall could, in his presentation in September, could focus on that, or Rick, so.
Right, and specifically it was pertaining to people that were saying what we were saying wasn't going to happen, which is I don't get to see you every day, so I have to give you extra work, right?
Yeah, that's
the idea
supposed to be
was
at.
That wasn't supposed to happen.
No.
And that's the feedback I got from multiple parents, that the kids were saying, the teachers were telling them that. Why do you have homework on a day that was a drop day?
Right.
Because I don't get to see you until Friday, so I got to double up.
They're supposed to pace their lessons accordingly. I know Rick did a great job with the pacing piece last year. We'll definitely find out.
Okay.
Good. And I guess it's new business, so it's not old.
Yeah. I
That's old. No, but I mean, I have new business, so that's what I was telling Jean, so I want to move past old.
Anyone else have any old business? New business?
Regarding new business, if you take a look at the agenda, and item 20, August 14th is a date that stands out, and also item 38, professional days, as you can see, August 14th. The entire administrative team, except for myself, I will remain in the district, is going to Strauss-Esme harassment, intimidation, and bullying training at BRIC that we've set up. Because of situations that have occurred throughout the year last year, I felt it was important to have the whole team there, and they will be there on August 14th, going through 3 hours of training. And that also meets the state standard that they require 2 hours of training, and all administrators get at the same time. And they will debrief about that when we bring them back and by end of the meeting. So I just wanted to point that out, because there have been some issues last year. That's it.
Any other new business? So I'll bring us to our second public forum. Would anyone like to speak on any items on the agenda or not on the agenda?
Actually, you can speak on anything.
No one?
Oh, is that right?
I know you want to speak. Your name and just your name and address for the record.
66 North Main Street. I guess it's just a general question that I sent you just the notes I took.
You did send me, and I looked at it briefly, but I didn't have a chance to really look at it.
I guess my question is from the last time we came here, was regarding the athletic field out back, the new one, and the usage of it. And my understanding from the last meeting was only high school student activities would take place on that field. Understanding is that the Pop Warner and the Mass Run Rec are now going to be using it, including weekends. So maybe I misunderstood, but that was my biggest concern.
So the approach we took to that was, we're not taking applications for, say, for-profit softball leagues or things like that to play on, although we have a policy that says we can and charge them. But we did say municipal organizations such as Rec, Pop Warner and Little League, we would let use it because we have a lot of agreements with the town to share services and all, and we have let them use our fields in the past. So this year we did approve Rec Soccer for Saturdays and Pop Warner for Sundays.
Did you find out if they're going to use their PAC?
I have not yet. We reached out to them.
I did speak to them. And they don't do, as of we speak, they do not have I guess you call it an address system, to use on a lower field. I'm not saying they won't have one, to call out yardage, and I think it's very important that they play the national anthem before each game. Personally, I think that should happen. I think it's good for the student athlete to hear that. And I think it's also good for the young player to hear if they've done a great job getting certain yardage, but I don't think it should be something that's intrusive to homeowners in the area. I mean, I don't think there should be loud music playing or things like that. To answer your original question, as of we speak, I don't think they have an intention to get a sound system, because I did speak to them today, and I believe it's just a matter of three Sundays and possibly four throughout the winter.
Would we be able to get the activity schedule once how the grass field and the AstroTurf field be used in the fall and the spring?
Without a doubt, we can post that on our website, so you have that. In fact, it should be posted on our website. So
I couldn't find it, and then I wasn't sure.
I don't think our supervisor of athletics has put it up yet, since we just started yesterday. But I know I met with him today. To take a look at how we're utilizing the field, because we also have a lease with the Army camp. And it's got to be fair and equitable for both male and female athletes. So I know he's putting it together. It's almost finished. As soon as it's done, we'll make sure it's up so you can see it.
And just to reiterate, is that for Pop Warner and the Rec, the gates will be
we're strongly requesting them to, we're going to keep the gates on Main Street locked for that. We're going to recommend that they park in the lots and walk down. Of course, if someone parks in the street, there's not much we can do about it.
But the gate will be locked.
And just for the Saturday and Sunday games.
Right.
During the week when we have regular games, those gates are going to be open. And there's a number of reasons for that. Talking about handicap access. Two, if there's a game on the lower field, it's a good chance there's a game on the upper field, too. So the parking is not going to be available up there. There's a number of reasons for that.
And I understand you said that we just don't have it in the budget now to have any additional security or street or sidewalk management, and that really belongs to the town anyway, correct?
On the street, once you get past the fence.
We
have opened the field on weekends to the public, for public use. And during those times, just to maintain the quality of the field, we have paid for security guards to be there. And we'll continue to do that as the field's not used. Now, the school's starting, it's not going to be a lot.
The small public use, it doesn't impact the street or the sidewalk. It's when the games happen in the backfield, especially if you're saying it's going to be dual usage of the grass field and the astroturf. Mm-hmm. I don't know if any of you live by there, but it does have a big impact.
And I'll just make this one general comment about parking.
It's not just parking.
Yeah.
It's the traffic, it's the idling of the buses, it's the unloading, offloading.
Of all that, we have a major problem in Manasquan, period. Mm-hmm. It's not just people who live by the lower fields. If you go up by Colin's house any day of the week when the students don't have a place to park and are all over the place, and if you go to the people up Broad Street when there's a football game, it's the same thing. It's an issue.
No, I'm aware of it because I live right behind high school. And we've lost parking spots in addition to that. So I am aware of it. And again, I like to hear the activities around the school part of it. But it's had a big impact on the opening of the turf field with the games. Mm-hmm. And my understanding is the athletic directors will communicate to the other athletic directors.
We're going to ask them to tell them they can drop the kids off at the field and take the buses and go park at the high school.
And when they pick them up, the kids go back to
They come back and pick them up.
Okay, well, that doesn't really alleviate the problem.
It alleviates them being on the street and causing traffic issues.
My understanding was that everything was being parked in the parking lot. The kids were going to walk from the parking lot.
Not for the high school games. That's only for the weekend. Pop Warner.
I misunderstood you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Main Street. I've been here many times, and everything I'm hearing, you are not taking into account that this is a residential neighborhood, and you put this field in without even considering the residents, our property values, but more important, our quality of life. Since August 1st, there have been 55 times that students, kids, people in general have been on that field when the gates were locked and it was unsupervised. I've had to call the police department 8 times, and only then, after a reasonable hour, 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock, or conversely, 7 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. And now you're telling me that you're going to allow Pop Warner to be on that field on a Sunday when they are there very early till much late in the day. We have required and requested one day a week of peace and quiet. The traffic issue. You have no clue what it's like to live there because you people don't live there. This field you built, and the thing that really just really gets me, you know, you violated your construction company, Landtech, your engineers who designed it, violated the UCC code, and I allowed them to undermine my property so you could complete this thing. I could have stopped it cold, and I didn't. I have been living there almost 30 years. I've been a good neighbor. It's time that you, as the Board of Education and the administration of this district, please, I'm asking you to do the same, because you're leaving us, the residents, and granted, there's only two of us, but there are more. You're leaving us with no choice. And we want, more than anything, to come to an understanding about this. But we live there. And it's gotten to be unbearable. The traffic, the noise. Liability-wise, I'm an educator. I know all about liability. I just finished doing a whole security plan for my school district's Performing Arts Center. Okay? The liability, these kids climbing the fence, sneaking underneath, it's only a matter of time. Something has to stop. This has to stop. I'm upset. I'm angry. I'm not very cool. I'm not Mr. Passive. Because I've been there. Okay? You're leaving us with no choice. And we don't want to go this route. We want Sundays with nothing on there. You know, I need to ask you a question. Does Pop Warner, is it an in-kind service? Do they pay to use the field?
No.
Who pays for the facilities, the grounds person, to be there on a Sunday? Does the district eat that cost?
I don't think there won't be anyone there, will there?
There's always somebody there when Pop Warner's there.
You ask me.
Yeah,
the district incurs that cost. And if there'll be a security guard there, the district will incur that cost as well.
So there's a number of costs we incur for town events. And it's kind of shared policies. There's a number of expenses that the town incurs.
I understand.
Like security and police officers in the school and all that kind of stuff.
Pop Warner's been
so we do go back and forth right. with the town on that.
But you're not understanding the paradigm. You have totally change the nature of a residential area. My house predates the field that was there before. So do all the other houses. They've all been developed residential properties. And yes, I've been doing my homework and I've been looking at the code and what schools can do and what BOCA codes and all these things. I understand that. But at some point, we cannot keep, you can't just blanket do what you want to do. We live there too. We pay taxes too. We are also part of the public good.
Absolutely.
And I think it's time that you're going to have to stand up to these other groups, the sports lobby, you know? And it's time we address this upward spiral of more. It's always more. And I think it's time. In this case, we had simple requests, nothing after 8 to 6, Monday through Friday, preferably 8 to 2 on Saturdays and nothing on Sundays. Those are not unreasonable requests as a resident. They're very reasonable requests. We're not anti-sports. We support the schools. Like I say, I'm in the business. Okay? But you've got to realize 55 times That's 55 times. I'm a prisoner in my house. I can't use my patio anymore because of the noise, because of this, you know? I've talked to my neighbors. They've had to call the police. Kids are over there. Most of the time the kids are great. They're really great. I talk to high school kids all the time. But every once in a while, you have a group of kids and the language is completely inappropriate. My neighbors would tell me they had to call the police. I'm just amazed that like I said, it's an open field. Climbing the fence, climbing underneath, coming in from the old band room entrance over here. So I really would like, so we don't have to get an attorney and go that route again. I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you, please, nothing on Sunday. And the rest of the things, traffic and things like that, we're going to go to the town and see if we can work it out some way with them also. All right?
Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate your comments. Would anyone else like to be heard? Seeing no one, that will bring us to our executive session portion of the meeting. Whereas Senator Byron M. Baer, Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the act provides that
Massillon Board of Education hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or are one of nine subject matters listed in Section B of the Act. Whereas it is recommended by the superintendent that the Massillon Board of Education go into executive session on this date in Massillon, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session, and whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes, after which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business. And whereas the board hereby declares that its discussion of the following subjects will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now therefore be resolved that the Massillon Board of Education shall go into executive session to discuss the following items: confidential matters per statute or court order, pending litigation, acquisition of real property or investment of funds, possible acquisition of property, and personnel matters, hiring and resignation. Motion to go into executive session. Mr. Burns, Ms. Pollack, all in favor?
All right.
Aye. Aye.
Good.
Yeah. You have a motion to come out of the executive session? Mr. Fury? Mr. Obiter? All in favor?
Aye.
Yes. Aye. Do we have a motion for number?
May I take roll call?
Oh, sure. Sure you may.
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Feel the need.
Mrs. Bassam? Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yeah.
Mr. Hodder?
Yes.
Mr. Angolia?
Yes.
Mr. Lafretta? Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Mr. Serino? Mr. Warren?
Yes.
We have a quorum.
Do we have a motion for number 44, Massillon personnel? Mr. Warren? Mr. Burns?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hobbiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carrie?
We have a motion for number 45, Massillon Sending Districts personnel. Mr. Hobbiter? Mrs. McGarry?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mr. Hobbiter?
Yes.
Mr. Angolia?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
We have a motion to adjourn. Mr. Burns? Mrs. Pollack? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Done.